KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Did you know that Darwin didn't believe his own theory about evolution? So why today is evolution being so heavily taught in science classes around the world? Let's ask my guest today on Encounter, Wayne Gerba, that question. He wrote the book Understanding Evolution, What Every Christian Parent Should Know and Share with Their Family. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Wayne, welcome to this program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Wayne, why did you write this book, Understanding Evolution?
Well, I was a AP chemistry and biology teacher for many, many years, and I was very much a Darwinian evolutionist. I always believed that science would eventually show us that the absolute truth of Darwinian evolution. And around 1990, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I began to, probably the best way to put this is that, you know, we've seen in the Bible many times where it says that people have eyes that cannot see and have ears that cannot hear. And that was me. Once I accepted Christ as my Savior, the scales literally fell from my eyes. And I began to see inconsistencies and assumptions and misinformation and outright distortions in the things that I was teaching. And I just felt I needed to do something to make up for all those years of pushing Darwinian evolution.
Now, did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did not.
So how did that make the challenge of learning about Christianity so much different for you?
The family I grew up in, really, I think my mother may have had some, you know, interest in the Lord, all right? But my father was so dead against it that it was never discussed in our house. And, you know, the topic was never brought up. So for me, science was kind of everything. You know, science in school, science in college, and if anything, science was my religion at that time.
Science was your religion. Wow, amazing. So you grew up and you went and you taught for a few years in Australia.
I did, yes.
And then from there?
From Australia, I went and I taught for 6 years in Papua New Guinea. I actually taught there for 4 years, and then I worked in design and implementation of elementary school science programs there.
How long had you been teaching when you realized that those theories really may not be true?
Yeah, I had been teaching science for about 15 years when I finally had my eyes and ears opened. So quite a while.
What were some of the things that helped your eyes and ears open?
You know, if you read a text that's a physics text or a chemistry text, I mean, it reads all scientific language.
Mm-hmm.
When I started to read, in fact, most of biology reads that way too. But as soon as you get into the chapters on evolution, you start seeing words like might have, could have, suggests, possibility of, and on and on and on. And I never saw those words before. And then suddenly when I started reading this stuff, I realized, hey, there's nothing really scientific here. All of this is, could have been, might be, looks like a solid case here. There's a possibility of this, and, you know, on and on with these words that are very vague and making assumptions. And I had never, I guess if you're not, you know, if you believe in that stuff, you just skim over those words. When your eyes are opened, they begin to jump off the page to me.
That shows the reality of Christ, doesn't it?
It does.
That he can change your whole perspective.
Yes. Yes. Really does. And, of course, from there I went thinking, well, you know, I spent all these years leading my students. And, by the way, I would go out of my way to, you know, push Darwinian evolution, even in situations where it wasn't really necessary, and sometimes to the detriment of the Bible. So, you know, once my eyes and ears were opened, I thought, well, I need to do something to try and counteract these things that I've done. And so I put together an 8-hour, one-hour session course that I started teaching to youth groups and homeschool groups and young adult groups and things like that. And course, over the course of my doing that, a lot of people would, you know, really enjoyed it and thought it was good. And they said, well, why don't you turn this into a book? So I finally did.
Wow. Yeah. So Darwin, it's amazing that on his deathbed, he regretted sharing those theories of evolution.
Yes, very much so. And in fact, the opening, I'm just trying to find it in my book here right now, but the opening quote in my book says, often a cold shudder has run through me, and I've asked myself whether I may not have devoted myself to a fantasy. And this was in a letter that Charles Darwin wrote to one of his friends. So, yes, he was not at all sure of what he was doing. He had some serious misgivings about it.
Why is it still so highly taught in schools? Why?
Well, this is one of the things that I think the Lord opened my eyes to, okay? And I think it's the why is because it's the heart and soul of atheism. If you begin to look at life, which it makes a lot more sense to look at life as a product of design, mm-hmm. of a designing mind and presence behind life, then you can't be an atheist. An atheist requires that there's nothing at all there. So Darwinian evolution, suits the atheist mind state very well. And we just have a lot of, over the years, we've just had a lot of atheistic scientists who are very outspoken and keep pushing this.
Understanding evolution, what every Christian parent should know and share with their family. My guest is Wayne Gerba. He wrote this book, also has an 8-part series out that they use with youth groups and other organizations that want to learn more about creation versus evolution. So how can we go about talking to our children about the difference between evolution and creation and help them to see what's true and what isn't true?
Yeah. You know, as I said before, I always believed that it was a matter of time until science, solved the puzzle and Darwinian evolution became a scientific fact. Well, ironically, exactly the opposite is happening. In science today, particularly with the march of technology, we are beginning to look deeper and deeper into the cell, deeper and deeper into the universe. And what we're finding is that these Darwinian ideas simply don't make any sense. We're finding extremely complex machines inside of living creatures that a blind random mutation could never assemble. And so exactly the opposite is happening. So what parents really need to do is, I think, first of all, understand that we are in a struggle with the secular atheist world for the hearts and minds of our children. And if we abdicate on that struggle, then the secular school will take it over and they will influence them starting in kindergarten and finishing in university. And so we need to get involved. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book. And many books on this topic are too far over the head of parents. Mm-hmm. And they get too much into detail and too much into scientific terms that are hard to comprehend. This book that I've written lays it out in such a fashion that parents will have the tool to actually use to go ahead and discuss these ideas with their kids.
If you've just joined me, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. My guest is Wayne Gerba. Wayne was an agnostic for the first half of his 30-year career as a science teacher. And he had little use for God and the Bible. And God opened his eyes. He changed his whole heart on the issue of evolution. And he wrote the book, Understanding Evolution, What Every Christian Parent Should Know and Share with Their Family. Wayne, how can people get a copy of your book?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. If you go online, just type in Understanding Evolution -Gerba. It'll come up on Amazon, and it's there in Kindle, and it's there in paperback as well.
Intelligent design, briefly, can you summarize what that is?
Yes, absolutely. Intelligent design is a purely scientific model that is basically putting forth the case that when you look at science, when you look at the molecular machines in our body, when you look at the arrangement of all the constants in the universe, the best inference we can make from that is that we live in a designed universe, and that our that life on Earth is a product of design. And intelligent design doesn't get into who the designer is. They, you know, they say that who the designer is, you stepped into a theological question, but they say that the original Darwinian concept of, you know, life beginning in a slime pond and you know, becoming something that can replicate itself and moving through a blind random mutation and natural selection, eventually producing human beings, they're saying that's just not a viable system anymore. It's not a viable theory. That the idea that that intelligent design is, there's an intelligent design behind all of this, is a much more viable theory. Mm-hmm. And the case they're making for it is very, very strong.
So, Wayne, we're going to be right back after this break to talk a little bit more about understanding evolution and how we as parents can teach our kids more about the real science. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. My guest today is Wayne Gerba. He wrote the book Understanding Evolution, What Every Christian Parent Should Know and Share with Their Family. Wayne, could you talk about examples in creation that definitely prove that the world was not made by a Darwinian theory?
Yes, I can give you a couple of examples of that. We can start with the origin of the universe, for example. You know, when I went to university, which was many years ago, I was taught that the universe was eternal. And that suited very nicely with the atheist mindset. Well, now we understand that the universe had a beginning. And back then, you know, in the opening lines of Genesis, it says, in the beginning. All right, and so the Bible was wrong at that time. Anybody who read the Bible would say, well, the universe is eternal. It's not, you know, it didn't have a beginning. Well, now I don't think there's an astrophysicist or an astronomer alive who doesn't believe that the universe had a beginning. The Bible was right. We also believe now that the universe began in a flash of light. And the next line in the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. So from the Bible, we learn really three things. We learn that the universe had a beginning. We learn that it began in a flash of light. And we learn that God was the author of it all. Mm. And here we have the Bible saying that thousands of years before science was able to actually come to that conclusion.
And some of the animals that have been created, how do they show that it's not evolution, but it's the creation?
Yeah. If you look at the whole concept of Darwinian evolution is that, you know, from the slime pond, you ended up getting eventually bacteria and then more complex creatures and then fish and amphibians and so on up the line. Okay. But when you look at the actual fossil record for that, it's simply not there. The fossil record does not, has never shown that and does not show it. Even Darwin in his book, Origin of Species, said that that was the most persuasive argument against his theory, that there were no fossils. Now, he believed that it was just a matter of time until they found them. Well, since his day, we found, you know, hundreds of millions of fossils, and they're still not there. So that whole concept doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of the fossil record. Now, what we're finding with modern technology is that when you start looking inside the cell, for example, in a something as small as a little bacteria, it has a tail that rotates to drive it along through the water. Well, with electron microscopes now, we're seeing that there's an electric motor that runs that little tail.
Wow.
A rotor and a stator, just like an electric motor we would design. The only difference is it's much more efficient than anything we can design. It repairs itself. It produces its own electricity to run itself. So now that we're beginning to see these extremely complex machines in living creatures, we're saying, hey, blind random mutation? No way it can do this. These are design machines. And of course, you know, our designer is the Lord.
Our designer is the Lord. The earth is round. What evidence is there in the Bible that speaks to that as opposed to the earth is flat?
Okay. One of the quotes earlier in the book, talked to a guy named Dennett. He says that if you're teaching your children that there's a God and you're teaching them falsehoods that the earth is flat and that man didn't come up, you know, and of course, the Bible is never taught that the earth is flat. The Bible is always taught that the earth is round, and it taught the earth was round thousands of years before science, you know, knew that. So just let me find that one right here, and I'll read it to you. In Isaiah 40:22, it says, "He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth." All right, this, now I've written here, this verse is so clear, it hardly needs explanation. The Greek word used here is chuon. It means circle, and is best translated as to encircle or to encompass or to make a circle. So, you know, there it is back in Isaiah thousands of years ago, saying that he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. So the Bible quite clearly said thousands of years ago that the earth was circular. And, of course, at that time, nobody in science knew that. All right. That was the case.
What about the starfish? How does the starfish show creation?
A starfish?
Mm-hmm.
Well, starfish is just one of many, many examples, okay? But for two ways I would say that. One, that when you look at the fossil record of starfish, you don't see anything preceding them. Starfish just appear as God created them. Now, over time, they may have changed a little bit, but their perfect symmetry, their five-fingered symmetry, is so perfect, it's actually mathematical. And there's actually been books written on the perfect symmetry of it, mathematical symmetry of it. So starfish, again, are kind of saying, you know, how do we get blind random mutation doing this? Their intricacies and their mathematical perfection comes from a designing mind.
Understanding Evolution. The author of that book is here in the studio, Wayne Gerba. What every Christian parent should know and share with their family. Wayne, briefly, if you could summarize a few things that parents can do to influence their children, but also influence their school system and the community that creation is real and evolution is not.
Yeah, there's actually quite a strong movement going across the country right now in school boards, where they're like, up until now, the evolution taught in the, for example, in high school, the teaching of evolution could only be taught as atheists want it to be taught. There could be no criticisms of it at all. Well, I see that the Texas state standards just, I believe, last month actually made a change on that and said, which is a perfectly rational and normal change, because what they're saying is that, hey, it's a theory, and it's a theory that can be looked at from all angles. It's a theory that we can now look at and say, what are the criticisms of it? What are some options to it? And that's the way science should function. Science should not be a closed book, and you can only learn it one way. So, you know, parents could get involved in school boards saying, look, if it's good enough for the Texas school system, why can't it be good enough for ours? Why can't our teachers teach, you know, that evolution has alternatives, that intelligent design is a viable alternative? So that's one of the things parents can get involved in school boards and try to get those things changed. The other thing, I think the real big thing, is that they can inform themselves. There's just a lot of good material out there today that's pointing towards life being a product of design and the universe being a product of design. And, of course, the designer is our Lord. And by actually learning some of this stuff, when their children come home and start talking about it, they'll then have the answers. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I've written this book. Hopefully that when parents get asked questions, they can open the book up and say, well, what about this? You know, does this make sense to you?
Wayne, you have a really interesting opportunity for schools to get a free copy of these class sets for each student. Tell us about that.
Okay, yeah, I'm really excited to tell your listeners about this opportunity. The Christian Heritage Foundation out of Allentown, Pennsylvania, has given me a grant to purchase and distribute to Christian high schools and homeschool groups a class set of my book, Understanding Evolution. These class sets are entirely free, including postage and handling. So if you're interested and you'd like to receive a class set, you just need to email me a contact name and we'll arrange for the books to be sent. My email address is wagurbaue@yahoo.com. One more time, that's wagurbaue@yahoo.com. Or you could phone or text me at 727-251-2011. That's 727-251-2011.
That is so wonderful, Wayne. And you can get a copy for each student in the classroom where your child goes to school by just contacting Wayne about Understanding Evolution. Wayne, thanks so much for joining me today for Encounter. And I know that our listeners will have gained a lot of insight because of what you shared about creation and your story about how you were an evolutionist until Jesus Christ took a hold of your life.
Thanks for having me, Judy.
I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.